This week on the Crebo Shoot Podcast, Retropalooza 2019. Welcome back to another episode of the Crebo Shoot Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Chad.
Hello.
And we've got a very special guest. Our cousin Clint is here. How's it going, man?
It's going good.
So we brought Clint in because we have a special show today. We're going to be talking about our first retro gaming convention that we all three went to. And so that's where our main topic is going to be. Before we get into that, though, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. Clint, what have you been enjoying playing here lately?
Well, I actually just started playing some Mario Party yesterday a bit. Didn't play the party mode, but just playing some mini games a little bit. Just running through them, starting from top, started working my way down, and been enjoying that a little bit. And then also went ahead and downloaded the Untitled Goose Game and started playing it a bit, and having quite a bit of fun with that one as well.
Have you honked any?
I've honked quite a lot.
Very nice. Yeah, it's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun.
What about you, Chad?
So the only thing that I've been playing a whole lot lately is a 3DS game I recently picked up, and that is Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. And I'm a huge Professor Layton fan, as you know. This is the first time I've ever had any experience with the Phoenix Wright, though. And I have I already know a lot about the puzzles and everything, but I'm having a blast defending people in court and everything. I will be looking for some more Phoenix Wright games.
I love the Phoenix Wright games. That's really cool. I've always wanted to play this game here because I'm, of course, also a Professor Layton fan, so this is just perfect. But I've never really found this game in a store to buy.
It's tough to track down, but after playing the story is incredible. I would highly recommend it.
Very nice. And Luke is also in this game.
Oh, Luke is definitely in this game.
Okay, awesome. Well, I've been playing quite a bit. I've been playing more Super Mario Maker 2, and also had my nephews over the other day, and we played a bunch of Rocket League. And it had been months since I'd played it, but that game's still a whole lot of fun to play. That's a great game to have on your Switch.
Oh, yes.
Also been playing some of the Donkey Kong Land series. These are the three Donkey Kong games that kind of came out after the Donkey Kong Country games on the Super Nintendo. And I grew up playing these, and I downloaded these on my 2DS, and just been really enjoying going through those. Also picked up a couple of new games. I picked up Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair. Now this is the second Yooka-Laylee game. I think the first one was kind of supposed to be like a Banjo-Kazooie successor, or spiritual successor, but this one's more like a Donkey Kong Country game. It's side-scrolling, and it's a lot of fun. I know me and you, Chad, we both loved Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, and this game is very similar to that. It's very good.
Very cool. I saw this come out the other day, but I hadn't had any experience with any of the other Yooka-Laylee games, but I did know that they were supposed to resemble Banjo games.
Yeah. Yes. So this one is definitely more like a Donkey Kong Country. You've got Yooka-Laylee, and if you get hit, well, Laylee will go away, and then you can't take any more hits until you get him back. So it's kind of like Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong.
Oh, okay.
And the Impossible Lair is actually the final stage, and it's kind of like Breath of the Wild in that you can go to the Impossible Lair from the very start, and maybe you can beat it, and you would beat the game. But you can only take one hit, and if you play through the levels, each level you unlock a little unlockable B character that you break out of a case, and that'll allow you one more hit in the Impossible Lair. So the more levels you beat, the more hits you can take in the final level.
Very cool.
So it's kind of neat. And then the overworld also, in the overworld where you go to select the levels, there's stuff you can do in that and hidden things. So it's not just a map. There's actually things to do on that. So it's really fun. I recommend picking it up if you like Donkey Kong Country style games.
So how hard is it compared to like Tropical Freeze?
I'd say I've only played the first like three levels. It's definitely difficult, but so are the Donkey Kong games. Yeah. So I'd say it's very similar so far.
Gotcha, okay.
But there are plenty of checkpoints, which is nice. It's not just one per level.
Very cool, yeah.
And then the other thing I picked up is Ring Fit Adventure.
Ring Fit Adventure.
I bid on this. I got it at Walmart. It's $10 cheaper at Walmart if you are looking for this game. And so I got this game yesterday, worked out last night with it and this morning, and I will say I am very sore today.
I was wondering why you're looking so buff today. I just didn't
well,
understand.
I'm glad you noticed. Yeah, I basically got a six-pack now. So. But yeah, no, I picked this game up, and I'm really enjoying it. You know, we kind of knew what this game was, but you kind of had to experience it yourself to really understand it. And, you know, when I unboxed this RingCon, this thing is a lot bigger and more substantial than I thought it was going to be. It's very tough, I would say, compared to what I thought it was going to be. But I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm going through the story. I made it through the first world, and I'm in the second world right now. They say if you play this game for 30 minutes to an hour a day, it'll take you a few months to beat. So this is this is very substantial. And you don't really, if you're in as bad a shape as I am, you don't want to play it for more than 30 minutes in a day anyway. So.
Wow, that's crazy.
But I am really enjoying it, and I am planning on sticking with it. So
very cool. What about you, Clint? Are you going to be picking up Ring Fit Adventure?
I don't know, man. I may have to bribe Brandon to try it out for a little bit and see.
There you go. We may try it together, yeah.
Yeah, it really is fun if you're looking for something. It does make the exercises more fun because instead of just doing the exercises, every exercise you do is an attack on an enemy. So it kind of motivates you, like especially the first time you fight the dragon, the buff dragon at the end of every world. And, of course, he always escapes and goes to the next world. But, you know, you had to do a lot of reps to beat him. And I would definitely, if I wouldn't have had his health bar on the screen and was, you know, seeing that I was close, I would have definitely given up if I was just doing the exercises themselves. But you, knowing you're that close to beating him, it kind of makes you feel like going a little further. So
feel the burn.
It's good for that, for sure. So yeah, that's everything I've been playing recently. And, of course, we want to go ahead and move on over to pickups. And we'll be talking about all our Retropalooza pickups later on in the show. But have you picked anything else up lately of note? We'll start off with Clint. What have you picked up here lately you'd like to tell us about?
Well, today I actually ran by Walmart, ended up picking up some Labo sets. The variety pack, the vehicle pack, and the robot as well. So...
Did you pay full price for them?
I did not pay full price for them. They had them on clearance, so I decided to go ahead and pick them up. I didn't have any of them yet, so figured this would be a good time to go ahead and try them out.
Oh, yeah. I think they're pretty deeply discounted now at Walmart.
They are.
Right. They're about $9. So I remember when they hit
$9. It's tough to stomach if you paid full price for these.
Oh, I know it. I'd be sick. I remember when they hit $19 at Walmart, and I almost bit, but I'm glad I waited.
Cause yeah.
I pick up the variety kit so far, but I plan on picking. I really want the vehicle kit out of all of them.
Yeah.
I just don't know where I'm going to store all these boxes. They're huge.
Yeah, they're just piled up in my closet. I'm hoping that someday these are worth something.
At least you have room in your closet.
Well, anything else, Clint? Or
man,
is that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it, except for all the good pickups at Retropalooza, but that's right. About it for me.
What about you, Chad? Anything?
I did pick up a couple DS games today. I got Golden Sun and The World Ends With You.
Oh, very
so
nice.
I know that was a Switch game recently, and it's always kind of been on the back of my list to pick up and everything, and I found these for a very reasonable price, so I went in and picked those up.
Cool. Golden Sun, especially on like the DS, that was a very well-regarded RPG series. I know a lot of people want either there to be a sequel or some of the characters to go into Smash, so
right. That's
cool that you picked that up. I've never played a Golden Sun game, but I'd love to sometime.
Yeah, that's me. I definitely plan on trying it out. I never have before.
Very cool. Well, other than those two new games I already talked about and what we've been playing, the only other thing I picked up was at GameStop. I've had my eye on this for a while, and they put it on sale. I got the Toki Retrolector Edition. That's a terrible title. But this is a game based on an old arcade game as well as an NES game. And the reason I wanted this is because GameStop has a special edition. It's in a big box, and it comes with you know, your standard like art book and stuff, but it comes with a little wooden arcade machine that you can put your Switch in and play the game. So when I saw this, GameStop had it for $10, so I picked it up, and I want to see what my Switch looks like in the little arcade machine. So
very cool. I went to GameStop to pick this up, and they had sold out. So.
Oh really? I was wondering if they might would sell out at that price.
They did. Yeah.
I think this was $50 normal price, and I almost picked it up on multiple occasions at that price, but I'm glad I didn't.
It looks really cool, and it is a big box to hold the mini arcade machine and everything.
Yeah, so far I haven't opened it up. I'm not sure if I will or not, but I just thought it was a cool thing to have,
for sure. Yeah.
All right, and we normally have news after our pickups, but there just hasn't been a whole lot in the news here lately. A few small items, but we've got plenty of other stuff to talk about, so we're just going to go ahead and skip that this time. We're going to go ahead and talk about the new and upcoming releases. So ones that I'm excited about are on October 29th, the Disney Classic Games Aladdin and Lion King Collection comes out, and I loved these games as a kid, so I'm definitely curious to see some reviews on this one when it comes out. I may be picking this one up.
Yeah, same here.
Also on that same day, Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD comes out on the Switch. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is a remake or a remaster of the Super Monkey Ball game for the Wii. And I didn't play that one. I played the GameCube ones and loved them. And I've already saw they've had some announcements about this specific version is going to have like Sonic as a playable character and stuff. So it looks like there will be some new stuff. Have either of y'all ever played a Super Monkey Ball game?
I have not.
They're a lot of fun, so I'm curious to see how this one is reviewed, because I've never played this one specifically, but I really do like the Monkey Ball series.
Right, I've heard good things about the Monkey Ball series, but for whatever reason, I always thought it was just a poor man's Donkey Kong.
Oh, so yeah. I'd never play it. It's more of like a puzzle-type game, yeah. Maze game, and I remember the original Super Monkey Ball was either a launch game or very close to the launch of the GameCube, and I remember people really liked that version for sure. And then, of course, the big game we've all been looking forward to coming out on Halloween, that's Luigi's Mansion 3. And I think we will all be picking that one up most likely.
A day one purchase.
Yes. Very nice. So we're going to go ahead and take a break right here. And when we return, we'll get on to our main topic. All right, so for our main topic today, and one of the reasons why we wanted to have Clint on here with us is we're going to talk about Retropalooza 2019. This was our first retro gaming convention we've ever attended. Now, a few of us have been to some PAXs, Comic-Cons, things like that, but none of us have ever been to a retro gaming convention, and this was actually, I'm not sure actually who thought of this, if it was you or Clint. Y'all were nice enough to invite me. Who was it that found out about this thing?
I was talking about how me and you were wanting to go to one that was a little bit closer at one point, but unfortunately we weren't able to. And me and Clint were talking, and he was the one that kind of got the idea of, hey, here's another one that we should go to.
Awesome.
So it was mainly Clint's idea, yeah.
Well, we appreciate it, Clint.
That's right.
Although you've made our pocketbooks much lighter.
Indeed.
So, yeah, we were real excited to go to this. This is in Arlington, Texas, and it seems like this is one that's been going on for several years, but I just didn't know a whole lot about it and really didn't know what to expect going in. I'm really glad. At the end of the day, I'm very glad we ended up attending. It really exceeded my expectations. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I was very happy once we got there and saw all that it had to offer. Thought before we get into that, though, maybe we could talk about some kind of what our favorite things, or what are we really focused on collecting, each of us collectively. What are we kind of focused on right now and what we're collecting?
Man, you know me. I'm all over the place. I'll buy one Super Nintendo game next week. I'll buy a Switch game. I'm just all over the place. But I've really been wanting to start focusing on GameCube a lot right now.
Oh, but nice.
It's just the prices are just so ridiculous right now. They're all over the place. And I remember seeing these games for sale at the store. It's hard for me to want to pay that upsell on those.
Yeah.
But I really want to build my GameCube collection. But lately I have been buying more N64 and Super Nintendo games.
Okay.
So not what I'm wanting, but that's what I'm buying.
Yeah, and I've also noticed with you, you seem to really focus on getting stuff like boxed more than loose cartridges. So
yeah.
That's kind of, that also makes things more pricey, but it also makes the collection a little more impressive too.
I love seeing the boxed games up on the wall and everything. I have most of the loose cartridges that I want already, so I'm just trying to either focus on getting boxes for those or just something that I don't have boxed.
Yeah, so again, it's a lot, you can usually get the loose cartridges a lot easier and cheaper, but there is something to say about having the box and the manual, especially on the older Nintendo systems where they were cardboard. You know, there's just not that many of them around still, so it is neat to kind of own the full product.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Clint? What are you kind of focusing on?
Man, pretty much anything, but at the moment, probably more so SNES box games and N64 box games.
Yeah.
For a while there, I was collecting a whole lot of GameCube games and built up a small collection of them, but then all the box stuff just started really catching my eye, just not able to buy it all at the same time because my budget will not allow, so...
Yeah, I'd call you and Chad the box boys. I mean, y'all are not even looking at anything loose anymore. It doesn't seem like I'm still buying loose stuff because I'm cheap and I don't care as much about the boxes. I do really like them, and I actually did end up picking up something boxed. But I buy a lot of stuff loose, but I definitely get the appeal of having the full box and manual as well. It's really neat if you can.
So what are you kind of focusing on more than anything right
so
now?
So I still really, really like all the handheld stuff. So Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, even DS. I don't know. That's one of my favorite systems growing up, of course, was the Game Boy. So that's my favorite stuff. But I really like collecting, like, I've been trying to build up my Wii U collection, actually, because that's, even though it's a more recent system, you know, there's still quite a few games that I would like to have for that. And I know they're not going to get any cheaper than they are right now. They're only going to go up. So I'd say handheld stuff and the Wii U is kind of my main focus right now.
Very cool.
So let's go ahead and talk about the convention. This was a two-day convention, I think, a Saturday and Sunday, and we decided we were going to be there Saturday, right when before the doors opened, so that we'd get a good look at everything that they had to offer. So we all carpooled down there and were ready to go before the doors opened. We were in line. I'd say we were probably in the first 10 people in line, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
And so they opened up the doors, and it's like, man, what's it going to be? They'd kind of, as they'd go in and out of the doors, we'd kind of try to peek and see what we could see. We saw a few box systems and stuff, but I was very pleasantly surprised when they opened them up, and there was, I'd say, 8 or 9 aisles, and I would say the majority of these booths had retro games. There was other stuff there were some older toys, and there was a booth that had comics and a few different artists and stuff, but the vast majority I'd say had retro games, which is what we were there for. So I was very pleased with the mix of people they had there.
So I've been doing a lot of research on this. I've been looking up YouTube videos from previous shows. I was just trying to find out all the information that I could so that I would kind of know what to expect. And I had an idea of what it was going to be, but it absolutely blew me away. But, I mean, there was so much more retro game stuff than I thought there would be. I saw a lot of videos of toys and everything. I was getting a little panicky and everything. I wasn't real excited anymore. Once we opened the doors, it was just everything I thought it would be, plus more. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
And we did meet Tristan up there. He's been on the show before from the Cooper Cosmic YouTube channel. And he made some purchases as well. But we did meet him up there.
That's right, yeah. So what did you think about the convention as a whole, Clint? Were you impressed by it?
I was very impressed by it. I walked in and I was just like, man, we've hit the holy grail.
I'm telling you.
I should have taken out a loan and brought extra money with me.
Yeah, it was just very impressive. Again, one of these conventions, I mean, these people all know what they have. You're not going there to get, like, you're not stealing anything from anybody as far as the pricing. But if you're just looking for something specific, I mean, you could hunt for months around where we live and not find some of this stuff. And it was just all there on offer, and you probably even boxed if you wanted it. So it was just really nice seeing that many retro games all in one place, offered just, you know, one small price of the ticket to get in there. You had access to it all. So I was very impressed. There was even, you know, we saw a few kind of retro gaming YouTubers there. I know the Game Chasers were there, Billy and Jay, and
yeah.
There was a couple other people as well, I think.
Yeah, there was a Wood Hawker from Beat 'Em Up's channel on YouTube.
That's right, yeah.
He's a real, real cool guy, seems like, and I got to catch part of his panel. He was discussing some Pokemon news with a fan who didn't seem very pleased about the direction the series is going. So, there was also Scott Squatch. He has a YouTube channel kind of about pickups from garage sales and such.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And I actually got to talk to him and
very meet cool.
him, shook my hand.
Also, Billy Mitchell was there, Donkey Kong high score fame. But yeah, it was just kind of cool. And, you know, different from like some of the comic cons I've been to, which obviously these guys aren't near as big as celebrities as those people are, but they were all very approachable and just walking around the convention, which I thought was kind of neat.
Right.
I guess we can stop talking about who was there and what was there. Let's talk about what we picked up, you know. We spent, I'd say, a few hours here just walking the aisles. I don't think there was any booth that we didn't look at 4 or 5 times to make sure we weren't missing anything.
Right.
And, so we all ended up picking up some stuff, so I thought we'd kind of go over what all we grabbed. So, Clint, why don't we start with you? What all did you pick up at the convention?
Man, the one thing I was going down there really looking for was Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars. I was really hoping to pick it up boxed.
Very nice.
Ended up finding about 3 different box copies down there. And, man, I ended up paying a little more than I was expecting to in a way. But I got one that's near mint condition. So I was very happy. It still had the plastic wrapping around part of the box and everything. So it was very well taken care of. The guy was selling it that was getting rid of his whole collection. So
yeah.
Decided to give it to a new home that was gonna very well appreciate it.
Very nice. Now I must say you showed this to us after you bought it, and this is probably the best conditioned box SNES game I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it literally looks like someone just took it off the shelf. So yeah, you picked up a really, really good copy of this game.
I didn't mind paying a bit extra to get a little cleaner one. It really impressed me.
Yeah.
Also picked up a Donkey Kong Country 2 box with manual. Have the game, but do not have the box. That box was in very well conditioned as well, so I was pretty impressed with that. Man, I was also looking for a Melee copy for the GameCube that was not for resale. I have the GameCube bundle, and it did not come with a copy of the game, so I was looking for a not for resale Melee for the GameCube and ended up picking that up at almost one of the first booths in. So
Very nice.
I didn't find it the first time around, the second time around, the third time around, but I finally found it about the fourth or fifth time around. So I was very happy to pick that up, something I've been looking for as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now you kind of got a complete GameCube system Smash Melee bundle now.
Yes, I do. So I was really happy about that. Also was wanting to pick up some of the Mario Parties. I was missing some of them. So I ended up picking up Mario Party 4 Complete for the GameCube. And then also, my good friend Brandon over here bought me Mario RPG Japan version. So
yes.
I was very happy with that. Yeah. It was a box copy and in very good shape. So I was very, very happy with that one. Just completed my collection a little bit more.
I can't read Japanese, so I wasn't doing any good. So I thought I'd give it to you since you're fluent.
Yeah, I had seen it when we first walked in, and I was like, man, that's so cool. But you know, I might have to wait and see what else comes up, and then it wasn't there the next time. So
I was kind of hoping all day that you would even say something like, "Man, someone bought that Mario RPG."
Man. Yeah, I was very happy.
I was gonna pull it back and say, "This Mario RPG."
Oh, man. I was very happy to take it home with me, man. I'll give it a good home.
Very nice. Well, yeah, is that about it?
I think that's about all I got up there, man.
That's some really good pickups. Like I said, that to me, the crown jewel of what you picked up was definitely that Mario RPG.
Yes, most definitely.
With the plastic still on it. That was just a beautiful copy of the game. And, you know, that's one of the most well-regarded games on the Super Nintendo. And so, really, really cool that you were able to grab that.
Did it still have the hang tab on it, too?
It did. Yeah. It still had the hang tab with the plastic on it,
I'm telling you, you won't find something like that anywhere else.
Yeah, the man that had it, he prided himself on picking up clean stuff, and almost his entire collection was just near mint condition. He had some very rare Nintendo items I'd never even heard of laying out there. So
yes, you could definitely tell that was that guy's personal collection, because I mean, everything was just pristine.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of priorities he had. But
he definitely wasn't the cheapest guy there, but I don't think there was any better stuff at any other booth we saw. So.
No, I guess he was trying to grow up. He said he was going to sell his collection off to buy a house. I think he should have kept his collection, but that's just me personally.
You may have helped him with a down payment at least.
Down payment, a small down payment.
What about you, Chad? What'd you end up picking up?
So I spent some time at the beginning of the convention looking for a not-for-resale Super Smash Brothers Melee.
I did too.
Every copy, I would be turning it over. Where's it say it at? And I couldn't find it, so I'm glad he did pick that up.
Me too, yeah.
I was looking for a lot of manuals for some of my boxed games. I only found one that I didn't have, and it was Majora's Mask for Nintendo 64.
Oh, cool.
So I did get the manual for that.
That was a thing that I thought was really cool about this convention is there was a lot of booths that would just have a stack of manuals or a stack of boxes for games.
Yeah.
And that's really cool because that's something, again, you don't see very often around here at least.
Right, and a lot of stuff I have, like I have a bunch of loose cartridges, so if they had some boxes or manuals that I didn't have, then it'd be perfect to complete the set.
I just thought that was that really surprised me how much of that there actually was there. Yeah. So I was glad you were able to at least pick up one you were needing.
Right, yeah, me too. Also picked up a Cobalt Blue Game Boy SP in the box. I've had some loose SPs. I love the way the SP plays, the backlit screen. I think it's one of the greatest handhelds ever.
I agree.
So I was really happy to pick up one of those. Still had all the paperwork and the little plastic baggie. The system goes in, the charger. So it was totally complete.
Very nice.
I was very happy to pick that up. That was the only system I bought, but I did buy an accessory. I bought a Game Boy camera, but it was something special about this one. It had never been opened before. Still had the Nintendo
stickers. This was sealed. Wow, yeah.
And I pulled it out and showed you, and you said, I almost bought that.
I did. I was just on the verge of buying it. I guess before you went by there or whatever, and I'm glad you ended up picking it up and that it at least came home with somebody.
You know, all I want to do is just use it. I don't know what the quality of pictures is like these days, but I just want to use it.
Oh, it's extremely high quality. I mean, you could shoot weddings yeah, with this.
We should open it. another thing I picked up was after I heard Clint purchase his Super Mario RPG, I went on the hunt for mine then.
Oh, very nice.
So I was able to get a copy. It did not have a manual, so I'm back. I thought I got ahead on my manual, so I'm back to where I was. I still need a manual for this one. But
well, maybe Clint will give you his.
Yeah, maybe so. So I do have a box copy of Mario RPG now, but I need a manual still.
Very nice. I have a really beat up loose cartridge of that, if that means anything.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, that's cool you're able to find that as well. I mean, that again, something that's really new about this convention is, hey, there was multiple box copies of Mario RPG.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, again, around here you might see even just a loose cartridge of that once out of 50 trips to some place.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool that there was multiple copies of even some rarer games.
Right. At our local game store, it took me, months of trying to find a copy of Mario RPG. And when they finally got one, yeah, it was a horrible shape, but I couldn't pass it up.
Right, yeah.
And I also took some games to trade and everything. So I traded a copy of Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 64, and Mario Party 3 on the N64. And they had rough labels. They were beat up a little bit, but they did work. I traded that for a copy of Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons on the Game Boy Color, and it was complete in box.
That's very
so
nice.
So I was able to get that. The Breath of the Wild was an extra copy. It wasn't mine. So, but I was very, very happy to get that. It's one of the first things that I saw at the convention.
Yeah.
And when we were getting ready to leave, I went ahead and made the trade. And
very nice. Well, now you're going to have to get a boxed copy of Oracle of Ages.
I have to, don't
go together.
Yeah. I just have to now.
You just cost yourself even more money.
Oh, no. And my final thing that I picked up was a copy of Mario's Cement Factory. But this wasn't a game. This was a game and watch.
Oh, yes.
And it had the box. It did not have the styrofoam. But I've got some batteries recently. I've tested it out. It works.
Oh,
it works
that's
perfectly.
Awesome,
so
man.
I even played it a while. But I just don't like Mario's Cement Factory.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I saw that you picked this up. I had been looking for a game and watch at this convention, and it hadn't come across any. But this one was so cool because not only was it a Game & Watch, but it was in the box. And I thought the box, the artwork on it was just really neat. So I'm very glad that you were able to pick that up.
It'll definitely be a display item. The only reason I think I got it is the guy had said he had just accepted it in a trade. So I saw him putting it in the case while I was standing there. So
wow.
I had to ask about it.
I doubt that would have lasted long at all on the show floor with it being, I believe, the only one there.
Yeah, so. I didn't see any others. So.
But yeah, the Nintendo Game & Watch, those things are just so neat, but you just never come across them in the wild, it seems like. I don't think I've seen more than one or two ever before this day in the wild. So it was really cool that you were able to pick one up. All right, so I picked up some stuff as well. Nothing as impressive as the two of you, but I did end up picking one complete in-box Super Nintendo game. I picked up a copy of Mario's Time Machine for the Super Nintendo. This was a game I always wanted as a kid. The box art looked so cool, and I had no idea that it was actually a horrible educational title.
Oh, I hear it's
good.
They
just stuck Mario on to sell copies, but it definitely would have worked with me if I'd have had the money back then. But I did really want to have this in my collection, and so I was happy to pick it up. It's not in just outstanding condition, but it is complete, so I was happy to pick that up. I also came across a guy. He had a lot of different stuff, but he had a lot of import stuff, which I'm kind of interested in. And I was looking at a few. He had one of my favorite games, Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening. He had a Game Boy and a Game Boy Color version of the deluxe version there. And I was gonna buy those from him. They were just loose, but they were pretty reasonably priced. And he said, "Hey, are you interested in any Game Boy imports?" I was like, "Definitely." He says, "Hey, I have a whole tub of them." So he started digging around under his booth, pulled it out, and I ended up picking up quite a few games for him for the Game Boy. All these were imports from Japan. I picked up, of course, like I said, Link's Awakening, Link's Awakening DX. I picked up Mario Picross 1 and 2, which 2 never came to America. I picked up Wario Land 1 and 2 and Super Mario Land for the Game Boy. I picked all those up. He gave me a great deal because I was paying in cash and buying that many. And I was just happy as could be to get some different versions of some of my favorite Game Boy games.
Right. You showed us. I really love the artwork on these Japanese games.
Oh, I know. They look so awesome. Neat. Yeah. Of course, I would have loved to have gotten some of these with the boxes, but that's something very rare. I saw just a few Game Boy games that from Japan in the box at this convention.
Right.
But I was happy to get some of these. Most of my Game Boy games are loose anyway, so I'll just add these to the pile.
Very cool.
But yeah, that's pretty much everything I picked up. Now, it's not saying there wasn't stuff I would have liked to have picked up. I bet you guys are the same. So I thought, how about we talk about some of the favorite things we saw or that we really wish we could have bought, whether we just didn't have the budget or had already spent too much money. But there was definitely some things that I would have liked to have taken away, but I didn't. So was there anything for you like that, Clint?
Man, there was a few things like that for me. One thing that really caught my eye was the Mario Kart Edition GameCube. Since I had the Super Smash Brothers Edition, I was they had the Mario Kart one there. So I was like, man, that really was tempting to me.
Yeah.
I'll pass it up the first time, and I came back around again, and it was still there, and I didn't pick it up. And then I came back around the third time, there was another man buying it. So I was like, man, he's taking it all out. And I was like, oh, man, I guess he's going to buy this. So that one really caught my eye, and I was very impressed by that one, but I ended up not picking it up. Kind of wish I would have.
Yeah.
So that was the main one.
Yeah. How about you, Chad?
Oh, man, there was a bunch of stuff out there, but I really wish that I would have not bought some of my other stuff maybe and picked up a copy of DuckTales 2, the only copy of DuckTales 2 that I saw there. That's on the NES. I believe it was about $200 for a loose cartridge. I don't know if that's a good price or not, but I really want that game.
I agree. I mean, how cool would it be to have that in your collection? It'd be
pretty cool.
Yeah, I've always even just wanted to play DuckTales 2. I loved the original as a kid. That's actually one of the games I owned as a kid was DuckTales on the NES.
Right.
It's such a great game. And the fact that there was a sequel, I never even knew that as a kid. And, of course, it's very, very rare these days. So it was really neat to see a copy of that.
Right. I would love to play that as well. I love the first DuckTales. The DuckTales on Wii U, the remaster, is awesome. I'll give you a tip right now. That game is starting to go up in value. So
really?
Rush out and get it.
Interesting. I think I downloaded that game for some reason. I definitely should have bought it physically.
You can't download it anymore. That's why it's going up. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'd say the main thing that I wished I could have came away with, I just didn't have the budget for it, was there was a Virtual Boy boxed at this convention, and I really, really wanted that. It wasn't in the best of shape, but I would just love to own a boxed Virtual Boy.
It's a very 90s box.
It is, yes.
But yeah. I would love to as well.
Right. But there was a lot of just very rare stuff there. I know I saw a copy of Little Samson as well,
yes,
as DuckTales 2. Some guy had a Majora's Mask, not for resale, demo that he cartridge that he was trying to sell for. How much was he trying to sell?
I believe
for?
It was $2,700.
Yeah. So
it was very impressive.
There was some insane stuff, and then there was a few handhelds that if they had just wouldn't have been so beat up, I definitely would have bought. There was a Tommy Hilfiger Game Boy Color that I really wanted, as well as a Target Edition Game Boy Advance, but they were just in such poor shape that I just couldn't bear to buy them.
Right.
So
the Target one came with the box, actually, didn't it?
There was one that came with the box. There was a couple of loose ones as well, but they just were in terrible shape. So it's like, you know, I they don't have to be in pristine shape for me to buy them, but they need to be at least not just beat up to...
Scratched up all over.
Yeah, exactly. So those were a couple of things I would have liked to have bought, but just because of the condition, couldn't really bring myself to do it.
Right, right. I saw some very impressive stuff. They had a Rescue Rangers 2, Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I saw one right out of the gate. I think it was the guy was asking $195, and that was the first thing that I saw at the convention where I was like, ooh, this is going to be a good convention. So,
yeah, exactly.
And I remember you went there looking for a specific item, an NES game, complete. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
number 3, the Manhattan Project. This is one of my favorite NES games, and I thought if I'm gonna, you know, buy a boxed NES game, I don't have any, this would be the one I would want of them all. And I think the same guy that Clint bought his Mario RPG had this game, but he wanted a lot of money for it. Yes. And he unfortunately, I brought some games to trade, kind of like you did. He unfortunately, he wasn't buying and selling. He was just selling. He didn't have any interest in making a trade. So that would have been the only way I could have came away with this copy. And there, unfortunately, I didn't see any other box copies there.
I think that was the only copy at the convention.
But, and I will say it was in excellent condition.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have loved to have bought it, but I just couldn't do it. So, yeah, I'll just have to keep my eye out for it some other day.
For sure.
So after the convention, Tristan, who was with us, he had been telling us about a used game store not too far away called Found It Electronics. And he'd been here, I guess, but in the past, had even sent over some pictures of what they had to offer. And so we thought, you know, we haven't spent all our money yet. Let's go over there and see if we can just really spend it all. So we went over there, and that was a really neat store. They also had a lot of kind of more rare stuff, at least compared to some of the stores we have locally. What did you think about it?
Man, I was blown away by it, especially their Nintendo 64 console collection. I believe they had all the Fantastic series. They had all three of the Pikachu ones, even the Japan ones. They even had a couple of Japan N64s. They had everything. They really did.
It was super impressive. Like you said, the N64 consoles they had, just you rarely see them all together like that.
Right.
What did you think, Clint?
Man, I was very impressed. They had a Earthbound box that I was really wanting to go home with, but apparently it was not for sale. they had just all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, it was crazy. All the consoles they had multiple of the N64 consoles of every, yeah. You know, about every one you can imagine, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And I was just very blown away by it. They had all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Another thing that just really blew me away is they had a display case, and they had several of the old, like, Nintendo watches. So they had, like, a Star Fox watch, a Super Mario World watch, stuff like that. I actually had the Star Fox one as a kid. And these were just very impressive. They had seven or eight of them. And but they wanted a lot of money for them. I hadn't even seen these in so long. I don't even know if they were asking a fair price or not, but it was really neat seeing them.
Right.
And next to those, they had four or five gaming watches. And, again, these are just something you never see in the wild. So I was just very impressed, and I couldn't stop looking at them, and I actually ended up walking away with one of them. I picked up a Donkey Kong Jr. game and watch. So
good choice.
It was the right price and in pretty good shape, so that's the one I picked up. I had previously been looking at a Super Mario Brothers game and watch they had, because I mean that just seems like one you'd like to have for sure, but it was in very poor shape and they still wanted a lot of money for it, so I decided against that one. And then also they had a bunch of the 1980s Coleco mini arcade tabletop games, and these were little miniature versions of arcade games at the time that were very popular, and one caught my eye that they had there, and it was a Donkey Kong one. So this kind of looks like a miniature Donkey Kong arcade machine. It has the same marquee art and the side art and everything, and I just fell in love with these things. They actually had batteries in where you could try them, and I ended up picking up the Donkey Kong one. So I've got this little miniature Donkey Kong arcade cabinet at my house now.
That's awesome. Me and you took a trip to the video game museum in Dallas, mm-hmm. and I remember seeing all these displayed in there.
Yeah, they're just so neat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was very happy. I ended up trading in the games that I didn't trade at the convention, and I traded them here to help offset the cost of this stuff because it wasn't cheap.
Very cool.
Did either of y'all pick anything up there?
This is where I picked up my Professor Layton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, yeah, just really good selection of stuff. Clint, did you end up getting anything?
I ended up not picking up anything. I regretted it afterwards. they had a Super Smash Brothers copy for the N64 in the box that looked very, very nice. And I believe they were only asking, I think, $85 for it, I believe. I sure wish I would have picked that one up. I thought about it later on. I was like, man, I should have seen if I could have taken that one home with me.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing that too when we walked in. And honestly, if it hadn't been for the other two items I picked up, I probably would have bought that. Because the last time I saw that game boxed out in around town, it was $100.
Yes.
I went back the next day to buy it, and it was sold.
Yes.
So I definitely think $85 was a fair price for it.
I do as well.
They also had a display for Super Mario Sunshine, a gigantic display.
I saw that. Yeah, I don't know if that was for sale or not. But
I don't know if we could have fit it in the vehicle. vehicle, so I just had to pass.
That would look great in your game room.
It sure
though.
Would. Yeah.
That was really neat. It was in really good shape, too. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, overall, I was just – I've had an absolute blast that day at the convention and at this Founder Electronics. It was fun just – I usually hunt for games all by myself. I think probably both of y'all do too. So it was really fun getting the four of us together, all hunting for stuff together. And, I mean, I it was our first retro gaming convention, but I definitely don't think it will be our last. I definitely plan on trying to hit up one or two of these a year in the future.
For sure. For sure, y'all are just too bad of an influence on me, man. It was like, man, you should go ahead and pick that up. You know, it's you'll never see it again. You know, who cares if it's a little expensive?
Yeah, we definitely enabled each other for sure. It's like something that if you're by yourself, you may not have picked up. It's like everybody else egging you on. You're like, okay, I'll buy it.
Yes. I try to do my part in egging y'all on, but I'm not sure if it worked or not. But did get Chad to pick up a copy of RPG.
I think it works.
I was pretty happy with that.
So, yeah, this was definitely a lot of fun to talk about this and to go to that convention. I want to thank Clint for driving us there and back and allowing me to tag along. And want to also thank him for coming on and talking about his experiences for the show.
Oh, yes, man. I certainly do appreciate the invite, man.
And, of course, thank Chad as well for always being my co-host. And that's really going to do it for this episode. Before we leave, we want to remind everyone that they can visit our show page. It's at anchor.fm/CreboShootPodcast. We're available on all of the popular podcast apps. Just search for the show name. Please rate our show on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast if you enjoy it. And you can email questions or comments to the show at CreboShootPodcast@gmail.com. We're on social media as well. We're on Twitter at CreboShootPod. We're on Instagram at @CreboShootPodcast, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/CreboShootPodcast. We'll be putting up pictures of our pickups from this convention on Instagram and Facebook. So definitely look for those there. That's going to do it for this week, and we will see you guys next time.